From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, UFO researcher Philip Mantle joins us on alien abductions. He's got some great cases for you. Here's what's happening. Apparently, Britain is planning to join forces with the United States and launch a military action against Syria within days in response to that tragic gas attack believed to have been carried out by President Bashar Assad's forces against his own people. British naval vessels are being readied now to take part in a possible series of cruise missile strikes alongside the United States as military commanders apparently finalize a list of potential targets. Government sources said talks between the prime minister and international leaders, including Barack Obama, continue. The escalation comes as a direct response to what the government is convinced was a gas attack perpetrated by Syrian forces on a civilian district of Damascus. Apparently 1,300 people died in that tragedy. Jerome Corsi, an expert on the Middle East, with us. Jerry, many questions for you here, but first of all, thanks for joining us.
Always a great pleasure. Thank you, George.
My first question to you is, how do we know that it was Assad's regime that did this horrible attack, or the rebels, some of whom could be al-Qaeda members, that we seem to be supporting? How do we know?
Well, we don't know, George, and I published an article tonight. It's on WND, worldnetdaily.com. We go over the evidence that's being circulated in the Middle East, videos and the like, showing the rebel forces loading chemical weapons, caches that come from Saudi Arabia in the hands of the rebels. The Obama administration has not yet shown the evidence. John Kerry was very definitive today in saying there's evidence that's incontrovertible, but we haven't seen it. And the evidence coming out of the Middle East is to the contrary. It's the rebels, supported by the Obama administration, that are using the chemical weapons. That's what we're hearing.
And, you know, I'm not hypothesizing that this government, the United States or Britain, had any foreknowledge that the rebels were going to do this at all. We're not saying that. But there's that strong likelihood that the rebels want us to get involved in this situation and that they would do just about anything, as we have seen historically, to get us involved.
Well, I think that's a very interesting point, George, especially since the Assad regime seems to be holding on. And by the way, there's really no good forces in this fight. I mean, the Assad regime is a vicious regime in its own right. I mean, there's no good winners or losers here. But I still think we need to have the truth. Now, the truth is that the rebels are using the sarin gas, then we shouldn't be blaming it on Assad as a pretext for military strikes.
I'm going to ask you what your gut says on this one, Jerry. One, is there going to be a strike? And two, who do you think did this gas attack?
I think that the rebels did the gas attack, and I think that there's likely to be a strike. The statements of Secretary of State John Kerry today were so definitive, so hard, that I can't imagine President Obama backing down after John Kerry was sent forward. I'm very fearful because this inevitably could lead to a confrontation between the United States and Russia. Russia backs Assad and does not look like they're ready to back down.
I think you're right. It does not look like we're going to involve any ground troops at this time. Of course,
most
we've seen
likely
that
to be probably cruise missile strikes, which I doubt could really make any lasting impact against this Assad regime. But if the Obama administration does launch military attacks, it will be, in effect, going to war against Syria, and Russia is certain to respond.
Okay, Jerry, thank you. We're going to continue to follow up all week long on this story because it really could hit it, and hit it big. Internet users in China were met with sluggish response times since early Sunday as the country's domain extension came under a denial of service attack. The important part of this story is the denial of service attack isn't technically a hack, but what it basically did was shut down and slow down China's entire internet. And they have no idea where the attacks came from at this point. Could happen here. Nearly 20 million people in China could be exposed to water contaminated with arsenic, according to a study. The scientists there used information about the geology of the country to predict the areas most likely to be affected by that poison. Tragedy in Northern California. Yosemite National Park is ablaze. It is now the 13th largest fire in California's history. This thing is so big, it's the size of the city of Chicago. More than 3,400 firefighters trying to rein this thing in, devouring more than 149,000 acres. Choose your Facebook friends wisely, they say, because, you know, that help you get approved or rejected for a loan. That's right. Now some companies are looking at Facebook, looking at your friends, and if they have been late, let's say, paying back a loan, I don't know how they know that, and they're friends of yours, it could hurt you. So pick your friends wisely, if you would. Well, over the weekend, we heard the sad news that Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. passed away, almost 77 years old. He was a doctor, and of course, he was the son of Jesse Marcel, who, of course, was the intelligence officer involved in, of course, the Roswell episode as well. Jesse Jr. was shown by his dad very unusual pieces of thin metallic foil, black plastic fragments, and thin beam structures. I knew Jesse Marcel Jr., wonderful man. He also devoted his time in Iraq as a military doctor, but his prominence, of course, was always talking about the Roswell case and what his father showed him. It was an amazing story. We're going to devote the first hour tomorrow on Coast to Coast to the memory of Jesse Marcel with two special guests, of course, the father of the modern-day ufology, Stanton Friedman, and, of course, UFO researcher Paula Harris, who's on the line with me right now. Paula, sad story. Died of a heart attack, and very suddenly, I hear.
Yes, it's so sad. This is an occasion where I'm really suffering because I knew the man very well. I invited him and his family to Italy. It was the last conference that I sponsored in 2007. So he was in my apartment in Italy, and we went to Florence together. And I got a call yesterday from his daughter, Denise, and she said, ironically, that Jesse, they found him on the couch and that he had a UFO book, or he was reading UFO material. which, you know, so ironic because he was so passionate about this and about getting the truth out.
I was with him in Roswell at the 60th anniversary. Stanton Friedman was there as well. And I've met Jesse. I had met him twice, Paula, in my life, and just a wonderful individual. You know, and he was telling me that, you know, he was a medical doctor. He served in combat. But the story of Roswell, the fact that, you know, his father was involved in it and then told him and showed him some of the artifacts. I mean, it was an amazing story. Like Dr. John Mack, who you knew well, he'll be missed. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I mean, you know, one of the things that started happening when I heard about him, I said, who else? I'm going one right after another. It's like, because these people reach a certain age, and we have them with us, and they're very important, especially to the credibility of ufology and our research. And then they disappear, and I can honestly say it was an honor. And for the Italians, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, for the Italians, he was a myth. I mean, when they saw him, they went up and touched him. They couldn't believe that he was really in Rome, and because he was a hero. I mean, he was a military man also, George.
Yeah, he sure was, as you well know. Paula, we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Paula Harris. Thank you.
Wonderful person. Up next, we're going to be talking about a new breed, satellite terrorism in America, electronic harassment. Dr. John Hall back with me, and that's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. For the next couple of hours, we're going to devote the program to electronic harassment, harassment of you. Dr. John Hall, medical doctor in San Antonio, author of A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America, is a board-certified diplomat of the American Board of Anesthesiology and a member of the American Academy of Pain Medicine as well, active member of the Mind Science Foundation, which is truly dedicated to the study of human consciousness. So he covers a lot, and he also sits on the medical committee on the human rights organization, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. John Hall back with me on Coast to Coast. Hello there, doctor. How are you?
George, what an honor to be back with you.
My pleasure. And there's so much going on in the world of eavesdropping and harassment. It's almost out of control, John.
It's upside down. The whole world is upside down, you know, including the harassment, the surveillance, the Middle East, like you were just talking about. I mean, it's just, you know, the times we're living in is definitely, as you've said before on your show, there's something going on.
There sure is. And why is it getting worse? I mean, it's almost as if one believes in the New World Order, that they have kicked things up, they've jump-started things, they're panicking, they feel as if time's clicking by. But what's happening?
Well, you know, with some of the new releases that's come out about the NSA, you know, it's kind of propelled the conspiracy theorist websites more into conspiracy fact. I think we've really gotten a good peek at, you know, that what a lot of the conspiracy theory shows and websites have been talking about is closer to the truth, far closer to the truth than what the major media has been telling us.
No doubt about that. You have been involved, of course, in a lot of work about freedom from covert harassment and surveillance. How did you get involved in that organization?
Well, as a quick opener for some of your listeners that may not know who I am or what electronic harassment is, basically, in a nutshell, it's literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people voicing complaints of being stalked by people they don't know, followed by electronic harassment, which is defined as attempts at controlling the mind, hearing voices of perpetrators talking to you in your surroundings or in your head that only you can hear while you're being attacked with directed energy weapons. And it's a problem that when I wrote my book in 2006 and it released in 2008, was not a whole lot out about it. There was, you know, quite a bit, but not anything real reliable, and which is the reason I chose to write the book. The book is about a female victim that I worked with who was being victimized by a former FBI agent who has access to this type of electromagnetic technology to do this, and basically saw her attempts and my attempts to get help for her through law enforcement fail. So decided after hearing complaints from other people and seeing how prevalent this crime was nationwide and worldwide, to at least write the story down. So basically non-believers or people that aren't being victimized this way could read it, and hopefully if it happened to someone they knew or someone they loved, could see that it is real. And actually the book functioned, especially after being on your show a couple of times.
Yeah.
Had a lot of people contact me saying, you know, I had my son or my daughter or my significant other claim this was happening, and, you know, we took them to psychiatrists. Psychiatrists couldn't help them. Law enforcement couldn't help them. We didn't understand what it was, and now we do. And if only one person had contacted me telling me that, the book would have been worth it, but it was literally thousands.
Since we last talked, of course, some big news popping, including, of course, Edward Snowden releasing the information about the NSA, and we've, you know, found other little tricks, the IRS peering in on people they don't appreciate or like and turned loose on them and things like that. That I think alone, John, is damaging to the credibility of any organization that thinks they need to conduct surveillance to protect us.
Well, and yet, and that did a world of good for the victims that are suffering from electronic harassment, because finally the major media, you know, covered something that showed, well, you know, if they can peer into our text and into our cell phone calls and into our emails, you know, and initially they said they were only getting the metadata and weren't listening to the actual calls or reading the actual text. And then later, a couple of days later, it came out and said, well, we are hearing the calls and reading the text. And then it was, well, we're accidentally getting 1,000 non-terrorist related emails and text and phone calls scanned, you know, per week.
Yeah.
So it really kind of gave the people that have been complaining about this, because they knew. I mean, the people that are targeted individuals, they knew this could happen. And most of the people that listen to your show on a regular basis knew that this was happening. But it seemed to be a bombshell for the major media for some reason. But it gave a lot of credibility to the people voicing these complaints for the last 10 years, because then it's not too far-fetched to think, well, if they have the technology to do all this, then certainly the technology must be there to electromagnetically control people.
What do you think they want, John? What's really the reason for doing these things?
Well, at the risk of sounding conspiratorial myself, and because I try to stick to facts as I know them that I get from reliable sources, but if you look at this, you know, strictly from a an outcome perspective, I think at the top level, I think it's experimentation. I think it's experimentation that's the technology's been farmed out to independent contractors rather than the government itself doing most of it. But I think the long-term goal is to find a technology that will allow them to control just about everyone.
Well, I think you're right. You, of course, lost a dear friend. We lost a dear guest with Dr. Fred Bell.
Fred Bell and I had become extremely good friends. We talked just about every night, either on the phone or by email, or him. You know, he was really good about, you know, pretty much every day would send me some type of a little email joke or cartoon. And I tell you what, when the conspiracy theory show came about, that
Jesse Ventura
show, his assistant producer had contacted me about directed energy and electronic harassment and wanted the names of some credible people they could use on the show, including myself. And I called Fred, and, you know, Fred was a true humanitarian. He legitimately cared about people, and just jumped at the chance. He said, yes, I'll do it. And, interesting thing I'll share with you, and I don't know if you've heard this from anyone else, but I called him and asked him if he'd be willing to do this show if I did it. And, he said, well, you know, I'd be more than happy to do it. You know, we need to find a break into this. And, interesting comment he made to me is that he told me, he said, but my handlers are probably not going to appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kind of taking that, you know, Fred had his hands into a lot of stuff, had worked on a lot of secret projects back in his day. But for him to show up dead of a heart attack in a hotel room immediately after the way he did, I mean, Fred was a pretty healthy guy. And,
well, you know, a lot of bizarre things happen. And you know, John, listening to this program, I don't believe in coincidences at all. I think there are reasons for things. And Michael Hastings, the reporter who took down a general and was also working on the CIA, dies in a mysterious automobile accident and his car blows up. And, you know, now they've reported that he had some kind of toxicology report of some kind of drugs in his system. I don't know if that was a smokescreen or not, just to take away some credibility of what he was doing. But there's another case. You know, you talk about Fred Bell. You have to throw in Michael Hastings there. There was that doctor in Britain who wanted to talk about the Iraq War, and they claimed he committed suicide, yet there was, by slicing his wrist, except there was no blood where he was. I mean, this is just too much, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's certainly some government agencies out there that are trying to keep the truth out, which is, you know, a lot of people have asked me, is what happened to Fred Bell, is that going to drive you underground? I'm still kind of fighting it the best we can. And, you know, we've got some new things on the burner. In addition to freedom from covert surveillance and harassment, we've also started a new organization called the International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies, and which is doing a lot of really good work. That's basically a group that I sit on, along with other physicians and physicists and other people from multidisciplinary backgrounds globally, interested in kind of getting to the bottom of electronic harassment and microchipping and control technologies. Was actually the brainchild of a man named Jesse Beltran from Sacramento, who came to me in Texas to be scanned, because I do RF scanning for people mm-hmm. that think they may be chipped. And he kind of stepped up and took it a step further and got a group together and traveled around the country doing scanning. And one of the really big new things that have happened I want to share with you is Belgium allowed us to come use a Faraday cage there that they have to do scanning.
Uh-huh.
And we actually took victims there that were complaining of electronic harassment and who had came up positive on scans here, and compared them side by side to controls, people from the population who aren't complaining of electronic harassment. And the evidence is overwhelming that you can have a control person and a victim standing side by side in a shielded cage and pick up transmitted frequencies off of the person that's claiming to be a victim.
Stay with us, Dr. John. We're going to come back and chat a little bit more about this. Next hour, I want to spend some time taking some phone calls with you about this. But let's talk about what you just mentioned, people being chipped. And see how many people you think this is happening to and how they do it. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Hall as we talk about electronic harassment. Perhaps this has happened to you. Dr. John Hall with us, author, of course, A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. We're talking about electronic harassment. John, these people that you tested that they may have been chipped, one, did you find anyone? And if that is happening, how is it happening?
Well, we have found a number of people that have been chipped. However, I will tell you that the majority of the people that we test and scan do come up positive for transmissions. But then when we image them, either on X-ray, CT, or MRI, then we don't find anything. We have found some chips in some people varying from nanotechnology all the way down to, like, Bob Boyce from Georgia was an inventor. We found a VeriChip. Buried in him. So we have found an array of implants, of course, nanotechnological ones being the most difficult to find. But as far as this happening to someone without a chip, which my personal belief is that a majority of the people this is probably happening to without a chip, the technology goes back to 1974 when one of the first patents was filed by Robert Malik, describing how you could shoot two phased differing frequencies at the human brain, and the brain will actually entrain those two frequencies and transmit an interference frequency. And that can be picked up, and the EEG can be decoded back out of that interference frequency. And the that technology was actually invented with the hopes that they would be able to use that on fighter pilots and be able to tell when they were falling asleep or hallucinating in the air. And then when you notice that on the monitoring, you could stimulate them to wake back up or snap out of their hallucination and back to controlling the plane. You know, and that was 74, actually filed in 74 and published in 76. You know, that's a long time ago, and there's been a lot of advancement since then. So, and then you look at one of the earliest NSA insiders to come forward about this technology was John St. Clair Acquey in 91, who described in detail how frequencies are being used by the NSA to control the human body. And I think actually a quote from his lawsuit was that they now have the frequency technology to bombard any electrical entity, being that mechanical, organic, non-organic, or human. Because the bottom line is that as humans, we are electrical beings. And he was one of the earliest insiders. He was almost immediately discredited in the public. You can still Google him and see the lawsuit come up, and a lot of people to this day question the validity of that lawsuit. But several years back, I actually talked to John St. Clair Acquey and found him to be legitimate. After him came Russell Tice, who said at the listening post in Georgia they were listening to conversations and using electromagnetic weaponry. And then, of course, the latest we have Snowden.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Another interesting tidbit, I don't know if you've caught this lately. You know, the NSA admitted that they've had thousands of intercepts of emails that were non-terroristic related. But another admission that recently came out, and the reason I wanted to bring this up to you is, the majority of these victims of electronic harassment, a great majority are female. And most of these females are complaining of sexual assault along with their electronic victimization. And as you know, the NSA is using a very large independent contractor force. Now, the entire intelligence community is. And the NSA actually released documents that they have found some of their independent contractors as well as their own agents targeting love interest, targeting
their own people.
And it is so commonplace that they actually gave it a name, and they call it Love Int. Instead of human intelligence, signals intelligence, SIGINT, Love Int.
Abusing everything, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and that's going to be human nature. And when you, especially when you start having 70% of your workforce as independent contractors, you really have to question the oversight.
You know, 10 years ago, John, when, you know, we were hearing things like this, and of course they didn't have quite the technology then as they do now. But, you know, still when people would say, you know, I think I'm being electronically harassed or strange things are happening to me, most people thought they were nuts, didn't they?
Yeah, and there's still a lot of that today. You know, I had one little positive shining star came forward with a victim that I spoke to very recently that was here in Texas. And she had called law enforcement out because she was, you know, hearing the people that were attacking. And by the way, for those who aren't familiar with this, this isn't hearing voices of angels or God. This is hearing somebody tell you what they're doing to you as they attack you. So these people know very well what's going on. But this female victim called the sheriff's department out, and this is the first time this has ever happened in any of the victims I spoke to. She told her story to the deputy, and the deputy said, well, there's no way you're going to prove this, and I don't know much about it, but it sounds like you're being attacked with electromagnetic weapons.
How about that?
So, I mean, maybe we're getting someplace with the educational activities, you know?
And let me ask you this, John. You know, one would think that if people were going to be harassed, it would be people in a certain position or something like that. But a lot of times when we get stories from people, and we'll get calls next hour, you know, most of them are from, you know, mainstream America, middle-class folks. They don't have an issue with anything. Are they being tested on? Or what's happening there? Why would someone who obviously doesn't have a gripe against government, has a job, has a family, does their thing, why would they be the target of harassment?
Well, if you look historically at the research and the testing of any of this type of technology, and you go back to MK Ultra and MK Search and Bluebird, a lot of the early mind control studies by the CIA, they always picked kind of the underlings, you know, either people on the fringe of society or, you know, people that were middle class to lower middle class or the homeless, people in prison. You know, you don't turn guinea pigs out of people that are in high enough political office or wealthy enough to have the capability to do something about it. You test on the common people. And if you look at it from a scientific perspective, you know, you want a random sample. And that seems to be really what they're going after now. When they have groups that have access to this technology in every major city, allowed carte blanche to victimize whoever for whatever reason, you know, when it's all mixed down at the top where the agencies that are appropriately administering the technology can look at the data, you end up with a random mix.
You know the movie The Manchurian Candidate, and a lot of people have thought over the years that mass shooters might have been, you know, programmed, that Sirhan Sirhan, who killed Robert F. Kennedy, might have been programmed. What do you think of all of that?
Knowing what I know about the technology that exists and seeing the way some of these shootings went down, I won't be such a conspiracy theorist to say absolutely it has to be control, but you really have to question. When you know this technology is out there that can subliminally control someone, or just control someone by being so vicious in the attack that they do what your bidding is, you really have to question that. And I know, you know, there was at least one of the shooters that you've mentioned had been on some of the various websites complaining of mind control before he put the gun in his hands. So, you
but
know,
most people would think that guy's irrational. He's nuts. There's something wrong with him, right?
Well, they certainly go to a very quick extreme to make sure that that's what's released in the media.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. And I think pharmaceutical drugs, I think they play a big part too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obviously, especially the psychoactive drugs, you know, have been a failure. I mean, if you look at our guys that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they're killing themselves at record rates despite the treatment with some of the psychotropics, which may be worsening the problem, and I think probably in most cases is worsening the problem.
What's going on in the world of energy weapons? Anything?
Yeah, you know, Vladimir Putin came out about a year ago in a speech talking about directed energy, specifically when he was ask a question at a meeting about a new ray that the Russians have been working on that they have fondly called the zombie ray. And it is a electromagnetic weapon that's meant to control the brain, at least to control the actions of individuals. And he came out with a comment that he said, whichever country had the best electromagnetic weaponry would be the country that ruled the world without missiles or bullets. And what I thought was amazing is I obviously had not heard this comment because it wasn't covered in our major media. And it may have been covered on your show on one night that I particularly missed.
Yeah.
But a Colombian newspaper service called El Espectador, which is actually one of their oldest, largest news services there, contacted me and wanted my comments on it. And wrote a three-page article in their newspaper on directed energy weapons and their potential effect on the future populations of the globe. But not one word was ever spoken about that comment in our major media.
No, not at all. They just ignore this, don't they?
Yeah, you know, but they sure let us know what celebrity's going to rehab or anything like that at the time. But they do certainly seem to ignore this. And, you know, even the Democrats and the Republicans alike right now are kind of coming to the defense of the NSA, which really surprised me. You know, even when it came to them releasing the fact that they're targeting love interest, Dianne Feinstein, who chairs the Senate Intelligence Committee, came out and said that this was only approximately one case per year that this was going on and that she was going to look into it and get to the bottom of it. And you and I both know human nature. And if you have somebody sitting there with this kind of technology where they can watch their ex-wife or their current wife or husband, you know, and they
they're
can
gonna use it.
Doing it, it's going to happen. And
they're
it's going to happen more than once a year.
They're going to abuse it. They're all going to abuse it. And they do. One world government. How realistic, or is that a figment of our imagination?
You know, over the years, you know I'm a pretty much a daily listener of your show.
I know.
And so are most of the victims of this technology. As you're, this show, you are kind of the shining beacon of hope for most of these people because you're the only media source that will have any of us on to talk about it. And 10 years ago, had you asked me about one world government, I probably would have leaned on the side of that it's conspiratorial. But knowing what I know now about this technology, seeing the results of it on people that I have to deal with, I think the only direction this can be going is for a one-world government to use this type of technology to control the global population because guns and taxes won't do it. You know, there's too many of us that live in rural areas that can raise our own food, kill our own deer, and pump our own water out of a well and not pay taxes. But this type of technology spans the globe and can control every single person.
That is so true. So true. But they do seem to be in a rush. They do seem, this is my impression, that they think they're running out of time. Maybe they don't think they can control us much longer. I don't know.
Well, you know, it does seem to me some of the reason I think this experimentation is going on, it seems to be not everyone is susceptible to it. And I have talked to some people who worked on some of these projects and some of the electromagnetic weaponry who expressed just that. And I've told you on this show before, one of the comments that was made to me is that not everyone is controllable with this technology, and the people being harassed are the ones that can't be controlled. And to me, that's a very scary thought because that tells me that the majority of people are being controlled.
Yeah, they are. There's no doubt about that. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the kinds of equipment, the kinds of technology, John, that they've got available at their disposal. I mean, they could they at this point drive by your house, not even have to come in, not even have to put a little listening device inside, and still from the outside hear everything that's going on?
Yeah, that actually has been around for a while. Already, you know, we have laser listening devices now that can actually use the vibrations of the panels of your windows. I spoke at length with a good friend of mine who actually is a high up with one of the power companies. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when they have these guys working on poles at different power stations or working on transformers, they don't communicate with each other with cell phones. they hook up to the power line itself, and they communicate via the power line. As a matter of fact, you can communicate from one power station base to another power station base 100 miles away through the power line itself. And you can actually listen into a home through the wiring in your house, as it was described to me. Now, that supposedly is still subject to FISA rules, and if the NSA or the FBI wishes to listen to the inside of your home using the lines, they're supposed to still get a warrant to do that. But as we've seen with some of the revelations coming out about the NSA now, I think the FISA court has really just kind of been ignored, and these intelligence agencies are doing their own thing.
Let's talk a little bit about the International Center Against Abuse of Covert Technologies. How can people participate with this kind of an organization?
Well, that's one of the things we have going right now as far as educational things. On the ISA Act is ICAACT.org. We have a lot of good information there. There's a contact email there. If someone is not sure or they don't remember that, satweapons.com is my website as well. We have a multidisciplinary group that's global. As I told you, we were able to go to Belgium and do scanning in a Faraday cage there. Some of the victims that were found to be positive in the Faraday cage that Belgium allowed us to use are going on to a university setting in Australia. I'm not allowed to release the name just yet of the scientist that's going to be working with them, but it's someone who deals in informatics and microchipping that's going to be doing some work with us there. So things are really kind of coming around on the scientific end there. And the reason we pursued that is the testimonials and the pleas for help going to Congress, women and congressmen, just weren't working. The other thing that we have going is a movie being put out on my book, A New Breed. A screenplay was written, and Edmund Dreley, I don't know if you know that name from California, he did the movie Banksters Made Off with America.
Okay.
And El Padrino is going to be working with us, actually putting A New Breed, the book, into not a documentary, but a drama based on a true story. And hopefully to educate the non-targeted public as to the pitfalls of this, because it's really the people that don't know about this technology and haven't had someone victimized in their family that really need to know, because this is growing so exponentially that eventually someone in your family is going to be suffering the effects of this, or someone you know.
That's exciting. I hope that works out for you, John.
Well, I hope so, too. If anyone is interested, that we have a website for the movie, too. It's newbreedmovie.com. So.
Simple enough. Simple enough. Okay, so where do we go the next 5-10 years from now with this?
Well,
is it going to get worse or slow down?
Well, that, you know, and that's where I've got a new book coming out that I go into this in detail, and it's called Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, and it's currently in editing. And it's taken a long time to write because it's not a story. It's mostly technology and history, and where we exactly what you're asking is where we go with this in the future. And, you know, it's a big problem that we have to fight a bunch of different ways. There's not just a solution to the targeting. You know, part of our problem is we've let government slip away out of our control. And that's one of the things we really need to start taking a good hard look at, and instead of just dividing ourselves between, you know, independent, democratic, and republic, is we need to start coalescing as a group and electing people to government that are based on their ethics and their morals. Part of the way we've got.
Well, then we wouldn't have anybody in office.
Well, you know, the people have got to be there, George. You know, and we all know good people. And you know, the other thing we need is term limits. You know, when you have a government agency or you have congressmen that are going up there and they're spending a lifetime there, they're going to be subject to corruption.
That's true. John, we're going to come back in a moment. I want to talk more with you about all of this, and we'll take some phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.